This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Late this year, there's a new comet that's going to blaze across the sky. Experts say Ison is going to be dazzling. That is late November. The brilliance lighter, brighter than the full moon. Chad Myers is going to actually show us a little bit a preview here. Hey, Chad.
This could be really cool. I mean, I watched Halley's Comet as a kid go across the sky. I'm kind of not really a kid. I was older than a kid, but okay. but that might have been a little disappointing to some. And we don't know exactly how great comets will be until they get here. Because the tail here, the moisture coming off, the ice being flown off, and the tail here, north sky here. This is from a website. You can go on to eagleseye.me.uk. We found this yesterday. Dave Eagle made these from Sky Safari. So December 10th, 2013, a huge streak is what it will look like, we hope, across the sky looking to the east. Before that, it will be one side of the sky to the other. And on the 18th, it will actually be streaking across the western sky, could be briefly at least for a while. Brighter than the full moon, visible to the naked eye for sure, and possibly rivaling, we believe, the great comet of 1680, which you will find actually in ancient paintings. That's how cool this comet was. Painters of the time actually painted about this comet. We'll see if this one lives
up. The greatest comets.
Yeah, you don't know. We don't know until it gets here, because if it falls apart or if it melts too early, then it's not going to be a great comet. But all indications right now that this could be the coolest thing we've seen in our sky in our lifetime.
Where is it going to be most visible, Chad? Where can we see it?
It's going to go all across the sky, northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere for a change. We had Lovejoy last year. That was only southern hemisphere. Didn't get to see very much of it up here. Didn't get other than on pictures, but this will be all across the globe.
All right, cool stuff.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Flashy words make the world turn, but it don't turn right.
Say what?
So I use these realize to realize the realize being spoken but not heard, cause we are more fascinated by that which is fabricated.
Say what?
The iconoclastic tactless tactician aims tongue spits truth words like wrecking balls bounce off brains, cause nobody likes to hear what's going on these days. It's like the truth hurts and we've been lied to, a bunch of hollowed minds living on borrowed times, and nobody likes to hear that, and nobody likes to say it either, cause lazy angels never carry their wings, and wingless words do nothing but keep us down. So this New York poet yells, there is no satisfaction in knowing that your life is one of the saddest fictions ever written. So take your not-so-satisfactory life back to the sadness factory to be reworked and to be rewritten and to be reconfigured to live right. Open your brain, let your heart go. The real you's been locked within your rib cage for too long, and stop trying to hold on to them, because that's why it all started. And about that same time, he forgot fun, she lost hope, and now we can't find anything. And I swear to God, if I could swear to God, I'd ask her, what the fuck was she thinking when she gave us free will? Because we don't fuck things up, because kids don't play and God don't pray, because it's out of her hands now. See, I've rewritten the Bible after getting over the primal rage of finding my name disguised within a Bible's page, and people trying to dissect my destiny will find that words somehow make the world turn, but it really doesn't turn right. And suddenly the world starts spinning because words weren't good enough. So I tell you, a blind man once told me the true meaning of love at first sight. So I closed my eyes and I recited this poem to an audience of one and found total gratification in my undivided attention. And when I opened my eyes, I found myself standing before a mirror, staring into the eyes of an invisible man until my pupils became pupils and I could teach myself to live a better life. Words. Words. From a peace of mind brings peace of mind, all I gotta do is give a peace of mind. One of the words, piece together the pieces in me to create peace within me. But they are all pieces. Pieces to a puzzle when it's put together is me. So let me tell you something. Don't ever do anything you're not supposed to, and speak only when spoken to, and don't speak unless you mean, because a good man is hard to find, and a hard man is good to find, and I'm half the man I used to be, and one-fourth the person I should be or could be, because I sacrificed freedom for stardom after being out of my freedom without a condom. Now, how dumb was I? words. Break these words down to the syllables. They all are the silly bulls they represent. And what do I represent? Well, it's hard to say when my represents the fact that I have to question myself, or each time that question represents itself. I can, therefore I am, and sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will always teach you.
Let's talk about language. Language can be manipulated and tinkered with in many ways to powerful effect. The problem is this can be done by both the good guys, the Bernie Sanders, Howard Zinns, the John Stamoses of the world, but it can also be done by the motherfucking asshole greed pirates, the societal dick blisters who still expect you to call them Mister. I wouldn't call you Mister even if you were standing in front of me with a spray bottle lightly spritzing me on the face, and therefore were by definition a mister. I would still call you Captain Face, although then at least you'd get to enjoy the captain part of it. Point is, we, the good people of this world, need to start using language as aggressively as the evil people. A good example would be how the anti-worker politicians call union-crushing bills right-to-work bills, even though on average workers in right-to-work states earn $5,500 a year less than workers in other states. So don't call it a right-to-work bill, call it the no rights for workers bill. Anyway, here are some other terms and expressions I've created. Some are as useful as the basketball wives at a math Olympics, but that's all right. First word, dicktuitiveness. Recently, Walmart tried everything they could to plant their fat ass near the site of famous pyramids in Mexico. The city officials said no again and again and again, and ultimately Walmart bribed a lower-level official to quietly change the zoning map, and they were able to get their Walmart store. Point is, Walmart did not give up in their evil pursuit. They had good dicktuitiveness. Next up, criminal for activity. This is pretty much anything fracking companies do, and if there's one corporation particularly destroying your community, then you can call them Count Fracula. Cokesuckers. I didn't create this one, but it's a good one. It applies to any politician, such as Governor Scott Walker, who is a fully funded puppet of the billionaire Koch brothers. Did you hear his last speech? It went a little like this. When people are impressed with shit that isn't that impressive, you know, you're like, I got the new Angry Birds app, and they're like, whoa, let me see! They've got mad wow disease. It seems to be contagious. And then there's plaid wow disease, which is someone wearing plaid who's also very impressed. People who are complete douchebags and at the same time think they're better than you, this goes for most politicians, a lot of wealthy people, some law enforcement, they have an ass-holier-than-thou attitude. Next up, limpotence. That's just what I think we should call impotence. I mean, makes sense, right? But it's also a good term for what the Democrats are. They're generally limpotent. When you're watching a clusterfuck between politicians and lobbyists and the media, it should be called a 100-tard pileup. A good example was watching Karl Rove melt down on Fox News while Mitt Romney was losing the election, and the anchors are all pissing themselves, and the cameramen are running around, and Romney's advisors are in fetal position somewhere. It was a flat-out 100-tard pileup. And if you're thinking, well, what if there's only 7 people involved? Then it would be a 7-tard pileup. Don't ask stupid questions. And finally, the f***. You can use that one however you like.
An annual teeth cleaning reveals 3 previous rows of undiscovered teeth. A neighborhood flocks to a coffee shop bulletin board to read about fun upcoming events. And a partially faded hand stamp is undermining everything a prosecuting attorney says. It's a brand new year, ripe with fresh opportunities to improve your life. This is the Onion Week in Review. In Chicago, Dr. Richard Kimball, a once eminent vascular surgeon and wanted fugitive for the murder of his wife Helen Kimball, was apprehended this week after disrupting a downtown gala and accusing his colleague, Dr. Charles Nichols, and pharmaceutical giant Devlin McGregor of fraud. The incident, which is the culmination of a sensational manhunt that has included Kimball escaping a prison bus, saving a boy's life in a hospital, and barely evading U.S. Marshals at a nearby jail, reportedly occurred only hours after Kimball subdued a one-armed man who he claims murdered his wife. Authorities credit their success in capturing Kimball to their array of highly advanced technology, including fax machines and phone taps. This week in Washington, D.C., 4 copy editors were killed in separate incidents amid the ongoing violence between the AP Style and Chicago Manual gangs. Police say the string of murders matches similar crimes all across the nation committed by the rival gangs of copy editors, both attempting to establish control over grammar and formatting rules.
At this time, we believe that AP, Chicago Style, and possibly MLA gang members were involved in the violence this week, and we ask residents in major cities and publishing districts to avoid dangerous areas such as alleyways behind major publications, journalism schools, and newspaper factories.
Police say their lead suspect is this former New York Times editor. Marketing assistant Drew Winberg told reporters this week that he is the only person in his group of friends who has not been both married and divorced, saying he is the only person he knows who hasn't found his true love and then grown apart from her and broken up. Winberg lamented his role as the token single guy celebrating his friends' weddings and supporting them through their divorces.
You know, it just seems like everyone I know is just getting back into the dating scene after picking up the shambles of their lives, and I'm always the odd man out. Well, at least if I fall in love with someone now, I guess I can get divorced in time for my friends' second marriages.
And in local news, everyone at an office is planning a shooting spree for the same day.
You had plenty of money, 1941. You lost it all and then away you run. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
He's being called a modern day Robin Hood. A mysterious bandit in Syracuse, New York has been sleeping in the woods and shooting rich people with arrows. The sprightly scoundrel's tunic of emerald and skill with a bow have provided a beacon of hope to this recession-battered community and earned him comparisons to the mythic knight of Sherwood Forest.
Robin Hood is back!
I heard he shot the city treasurer!
If you redistributed the money to the less fortunate, I'd be down with that. But what he's doing now, pretty cool, huh?
He fights for all of us.
Robin Hood!
The gallant bowman has even attracted his own group of merry men, who want nothing more than to attack anyone who enters the forest with swords and traps. And so far, the roving band has eluded the city's stone-hearted sheriff, who has vowed to capture the adventure-loving archer.
He's a wanted felon. On Monday, he exposed himself to a little girl. I'm just trying my hardest to stop drifters from killing people.
Community members say this is the most excited they've been since they rallied around the real-life Batman, a young boy who fell into the cave after his parents died.
You're sitting down wondering what it's all about. If you ain't got no money, they will put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
Five prison inmates in Idaho are suing the nation's biggest beer and alcohol company for $1 billion. The inmates claim most of their problems began with drinking at an early age. The billion-dollar suit against companies including Anheuser-Busch and Adolf Coors claims alcoholic beverages should come with a warning about the dangers of drinking. At least one Idaho attorney has his doubts about the suit.
I think for everyone it's axiomatic that alcohol is something that is addictive, and it's something that lowers your inhibitions.
The inmates don't have a lawyer.
If you had prepared 20 years ago, you wouldn't be wandering out from toe to toe. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Like some other men do. Like some other men do.
The battle over the debt ceiling is just beginning. That's the self-imposed government borrowing limit imposed by Congress. If the limit is not raised by late February or early March, the U.S. runs the risk of defaulting on its bills. Close to $1 trillion is needed just to cover a year of borrowing. So what's President Obama's strategy? Brian Todd is the answer to the trillion-dollar question.
Well, I want to welcome...
The president says he won't negotiate with Congress over lifting the debt ceiling.
I will not play that game.
Republicans say...
The president may not want to have this debate, but it's the one he's going to have because the country needs it.
So while they debate over a debate and race headlong into the debt ceiling, is there a magic bullet to solve the crisis? Try a magic coin. Some economists, legal scholars, and now even a congressman are suggesting a $1 trillion platinum coin could be minted, and the government could use that to pay the debt, avoid default, and preempt the debt ceiling crisis.
The Anasazi were Native Americans whose culture dated back 2,000 years. They were the cliff dwellers who built into the sheer walls of canyons extraordinary places to live. Yet in 1300 AD, these cliff dwellers, these great architects of culture and civilization, mysteriously disappeared. The people of this great nation, the United States of America, are dwelling on real cliffs of fiscal insecurity, the cliffs of joblessness and low wages, the cliffs of mortgage foreclosure, homelessness, the cliffs of retirement insecurity, the cliffs of small business failure, investor uncertainty, the cliffs of violence at home and war abroad. At a time when the government should be demonstrating its capacity to meet the practical aspirations of the American people for jobs, education, health care, retirement security, the government instead would have America dwell at the edge of a fiscal cliff in a manufactured crisis to manufacture consent for a deal that would otherwise be unacceptable. Leaders of both parties would do well to remember that the original cliff dwellers, as great as they were, disappeared.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, pursuant to the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Senate and the House of Representatives are meeting in joint session to verify the certificates and count the votes of the electors of the several states for President and Vice President of the United States. After ascertainment has been had that certificates are authentic and correct in form, the tellers will count and make a list of the votes cast by the electors of the several states. The tellers will dispense with reading the formal portions of the certificates. After ascertaining the certificates are regular in form and authentic, the tellers will announce the votes cast by the electors by each state, beginning with Alabama.
Members of Congress, the certificates having been read, the tellers will ascertain and deliver the results to the President of the Senate.
The undersigned, Charles E. Schumer of New York, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, tellers on the part of the Senate, Candace Miller of Michigan, Robert A. Brady of Pennsylvania, tellers on the part of the House of Representatives, report the following as the result of the ascertainment and counting of the electoral vote for President and Vice President of the United States for the term beginning on the 20th day of January, 2013.
State of the vote for President of the United States as delivered to the President of the Senate is as follows. The whole number of the electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538, of which a majority is 270. Barack Obama of the state of Illinois has received for President of the United States 332 votes. Mitt Romney of the state of Massachusetts has received 206 votes. The state of the vote for Vice President of the United States is delivered to the President of the Senate is as follows. The whole number of electors appointed to vote for Vice President of the United States is 538, and a majority of which is 270. Joseph Biden of the state of Delaware has received for Vice President of the United States 332 votes. Paul Ryan of the state of Wisconsin has received 206 votes. This announcement of the state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States, each for the term beginning on the 20th day of January 2013 and shall be entered together with a list of votes in the Journal of the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Do you want
Mr. Barack Hussein Obama to be your president forever? Well, they do. And if they have it their way, it's just another thing they're going to try to pass to make this possible. What they've done is they have proposed a bill. I'm going to be putting out another video after this about Senator Feinstein and all the information on that. But this is a bill, HJ Resolution 15, which is proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to repeal the 22nd article of the amendment, thereby removing the limitation on the number of terms an individual may serve as president.
Stop it already!
Yekaterinburg is the fourth largest city in Russia by population and one of the very last in terms of quality of roads. Visitors to our city are horrified by the pits and potholes around here. We feel ashamed, but we have to drive over these rough roads every day. The local website, ura.ru, which writes about life in the city, has touched upon this problem many times. However, it seems that the politicians responsible for road repair don't really care about these holes. The only thing they seem to care about is their own public image. We decided to associate road holes with images of certain politicians. In the nighttime, on three potholes in the city center, we drew faces that were familiar to all: the governor, the mayor, and the vice mayor. And next to each drawing was a quote citing their promises. For example, the vice mayor's declared, "The potholes will be fixed by the end of April," which by July was very revealing. In the morning, the news about the caricatures with the reference to ura.ru became a viral sensation in Russia. The whole country was awaiting the reaction, and the politicians were no longer able to sit idle. In the afternoon, workers were sent to the holes, but only to cover the portraits with paint. The officials were not aware that we were watching over the holes with hidden cameras. We came back to the holes, and next to each painted out portrait, we wrote, "Painting it is not fixing it." Three cans of paint and 24 hours of intense PR worked magic. The next morning, all three holes got fixed. Thus, a special purpose project, ura.ru Roads, was launched, where every citizen can submit a problem road with a demand to fix it. As a result, the news about the action was released in more than 300 media, mentioned in social networks more than 7,000 times, and reached far beyond the borders of Russia. During this period of the episode, the website traffic on ura.ru doubled. But the main thing is that it made the officials begin doing their jobs.
How dare you? How dare you?
La la tra la tra la la tra la la tra la tra la la tra la la tra la tra la la tra la la tra la tra.
In your snide we is pleasure, boom she pleasure.
Now with health news that almost sounds ready-made for all those New Year's resolutions about losing weight. For the first time, scientists have been able to see what happens to our brains when we eat or drink a form of sugar called fructose, which is added to all kinds of processed foods and drinks. Consumption of fructose has risen dramatically since the 1970s, and so has obesity. Here's Chief Medical Editor Dr. Nancy Snyderman.
By blocking some of the fat you...
It's that time of year.
Let's fight fat.
I have lost 101 pounds.
Try our entrees, snacks, and new salads.
And no matter what the program, the culprit that sabotages your diet might be at the tip of your tongue. A new study shows that fructose is affecting how our brains deal with hunger. Fructose is found in almost everything, from processed foods to sugary sodas.
The amount of fructose that people have consumed in the last few decades has tripled or quadrupled compared to what they were eating a century ago.
In an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association, researchers studied MRI scans of the brain after people consumed either fructose or glucose.
Whereas with fructose,
they found that the part of the brain that deals with feeling full did not kick in when drinking fructose.
Fructose doesn't do that. It keeps you going. And so that, as a result, makes you more likely to want to eat more.
The corn industry, which makes the sugar additive from corn, says that these findings are limited since it is highly unusual for humans to consume this much sugar in one sitting.
According to new analysis of the health information of literally millions of patients, carrying a few extra pounds may not be such a bad thing. You might actually live longer because of that extra weight. Catherine Cullen has our lead story tonight. Catherine.
Peter, it seems pretty straightforward. If you want to live longer, you shouldn't be overweight, right? Well, in fact, a new study from the prestigious Journal of the American Medical Association says it's not that simple.
It is the calm before the storm. Gym regulars like Anna Lempesis know they'll soon be surrounded by those who have resolved this year they will shed a few pounds.
It's going to be busy for a couple of weeks, I guess, and then it's going to die down.
Of course, that's because many people lose their resolve quickly. But maybe some shouldn't worry quite so much. After analyzing nearly 100 studies looking at obesity involving more than 2.8 million people, the authors found that yes, obese people are likely to die sooner. But those who are just overweight, with a body mass index between 25 and 30, live longer on average than thinner people.
Tall woman, pull up high long thong.
Beggars man the queue to be the next.
Fired for refusing a flu shot. 8 Indiana hospital workers are out of a job for not getting the vaccination. 6 were fired and 2 quit before being forced to get it. A new hospital policy makes the shot mandatory to protect patients from the potentially deadly virus. That considering hospice nurses and nurses treating cancer, that considering they treat cancer patients, care for some of the most vulnerable patients.
I just feel like it's a toxin that I don't want in my body. There are side effects with that. There are no guarantees that it's even going to protect you.
The health and safety of our patients is our top priority. It has to be. You know, people are entrusted to us to make sure that they get healthy.
More than 24 workers applied for a flu shot exemption due to religious reasons. Less than half of those were granted.
In your
we'll be right back.
just got pulled over by a Vancouver Police Department cop who refused to give me his name, refused to give me his information, and refused to give me why he pulled me over. So we're evidently we're gonna see where it goes from here.
Wow, you're gonna
absolutely. And the officer has refused to give me his information as far as like his actual like name or badge number or anything.
That's all that matters, my badge number.
No, I'm sorry, that doesn't matter. It's just a number. Anybody could be wearing a jacket. Anyhow, officer, what would you like to charge me with today?
I'm gonna just stay in my car for a couple seconds until you decide to turn that off.
Sure. What was interesting about this whole thing is that as I was actually turning right onto to go back to the house by the expo or by the science world, he pulled up next to me, rolled down his windows, and then told me to pull over. I don't know if that's standard procedure or what that is. At any rate, when he pulled down his window, I was curious, and I pulled down my window, and I asked him, you know, what the matter was. And when he told me to pull over, I asked him what the charge was, and he couldn't give me the charge. He couldn't tell me what the charge was, didn't tell me what the charge was, and now he's basically waiting for me to turn this off so that he could continue persecuting me for whatever reason. I am not under the influence. I am simply came back from Tim Hortons with a cup of coffee and some food, as you can see right here. And now he's basically waiting for me, or waiting me out, sweating me out, in the back of, while his car is in the back flashing with the police lights and everything. And he's waiting for me to turn this off, as if I don't have a right to record this.
I wish y'all see. There's a time limit
to how long police can stop you without charging you or without telling you why that you've been stopped or anything like that. I wonder, because it's been about 10 minutes. I'm sitting here, and I'm definitely going to be telling this to somebody. Definitely going to be presenting this to somebody, because this is harassment. This is terrorizing a normal citizen. So, anyhow, we shall see. Just come enjoy my Tim Hortons.
Also, you've crossed a solid single line.
There
you go, right there.
A solid single line of what?
It's all right there, sir.
Was it a white line or a yellow line, sir?
No, white line, sir.
It was a white line, sir? Why are you trying to protect your face from the camera, sir?
Officer, sir, and it's not very safe for me to let my face be on a camera like that right there.
As a public servant, you should absolutely allow yourself
to
be...
Sir, I can pull you out of there.
Okay. For what reason? Because I have not touched you. I have not harmed you.
You're obstructing me to be able to do my job right now.
No, I'm not
filming me.
Sir,
I'll have to ask you to stop.
Sir, I am not obstructing you. I'm simply asking questions.
Thank you, officer.
Your window are wet.
On what charge? You got nothing on me.
Oh no! Well, listen to this. Resisting an officer, assault and battery, trespassing, disturbing the peace, miscellaneous misdemeanors, public nuisance, traffic violations, going through a boulevard stop, jaywalking, triple parking, conduct unbecoming to a rabbit,
nice looking chapeau,
violating traffic regulations.
The desire to enslave our fellow man is unfortunately intrinsic to the human character. It has been with us since the beginning of time on every continent. And in virtually every culture, from ancient Egypt to Babylon to Greece and Rome, Africa, Asia, Europe, the United States. It's a disease of our human nature, yet people are under the impression that it no longer exists.
As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in the jacket. To keep you straight and grip you up in court like a racket. Represented, ain't it fantastic? Your attorney and your judge study the same magic. You are an infant, a person that's unsound. They give you life vests, take it off and you will drown. At least that's what they try to teach you. They give you A and B, I don't subscribe to either. You should see Stone Cold through their fallacy when they try to control the debate with a duality. Pick one that you think you got a choice. You've essentially squandered your motherfucking voice. I talk to the masses to see what I find, and eventually I gathered 500,000 like minds. A million men, there's 100 more times than what you thought. That consensus was created by crimes. Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeve. Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeve.
As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in amazement. Lost in a labyrinth of your enslavement. Wandering in a CIA-approved arrangement. Listening to a blabbermouth for entertainment. The truth ain't what it's cracked up to be. Patriots are manufactured in a factory. Most so-called hate groups they've all been to. ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center. You might hear my words ungodly and jest, but you don't know about the wicked Dr. Jolly and West, who looked after Tim McVeigh right up until his death. Sirhan, Sirhan, Jack Ruby, and probably Koresh. Some say Oswald was just one lone nut. Others say the CIA murdered JFK, so what? The human animal makes me want to channel Lord Milner and execute everybody who's off kilter.
All that's out of order.
That's what they're saying.
Is to be brought down.
And they ain't playing.
Fluoride's in your water.
That's what I'm saying.
Black water is in your town.
And I ain't playing. Saying
soon to be brought down.
And they ain't playing.
Fluoride in your water.
That's what I'm saying.
Monsanto was in your town.
And I ain't playing.
I am what I am, and that's all that I am. And I am not capable of bowing to a man. And I am not capable of granting jurisdiction. Especially considering the fact that you're a fiction. Especially considering the fact you ain't real. And I'm flesh and I'm blood and I breathe and I feel. And I'm here and I'm now. I exist in this time. And the only place that you exist is the mind. And the only evidence of your existence is paper. I'm 80% water, you ain't even made of vapor. You ain't nothing but a figment of the imagination of men and women whose opinions held as legislation. But how does that opinion then create an obligation upon an autonomous sovereign without a nation? I'm saying, as a king I stand above your law. And it doesn't even matter whether or not I cross your bar.
The First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Roll up your sleeve. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Your beloved America's a British colony de jure. The king funded both sides of the Revolutionary War. The people does not include you. You're a whore. You can verify that in Barron vs. Baltimore. Look on your deed and you'll see the word tenant. Slaves cannot own property, just rent it. Social Security's in place to enslave us. The trust fund, they blew it, Stewart vs. Davis. It's all typed out in black and white. Decided very long ago how you'd react and fight. Contingency plans were drawn up exact, precise, on how to distract your nice from the facts of life. They polarized the people to attack and fight, within groups searching for truth and hijack the plight. I knew a few patriots who lacked the price. One of them's drunk in a lounge singing Mac the Knife. The other two have disappeared unheard of. Some say suicide, others say murder. Watch out for patriots on the radio. Many know the truth, but they simply won't say it though. I ain't looking for beef, cause most of you're friendly. But Alex Jones steam juices as kosher as any. Another money bomb, how much can you lend me? What can I get with 3 quadrillion pennies? Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeve. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind, I get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeve.
His name is Osimo. Honda has unveiled its new human-like robot that the team says is designed to run a non-competitive half marathon and then smugly brag about it afterwards. Project leader Kenji Saito calls the robot very aggravating, adding, quote, "We knew how to create a robot that could run great distances at high speeds. The challenge was to build a bot that would be impressed with its own minor achievement." According to Saito, the robot even believes it could run a full marathon if it wanted to, but it's just doing this to stay in shape and have some fun.
If I wanted to, I probably could have played college football.
Aiming to make the android as realistically human as possible, scientists installed sensors to register derisive comments and eye rolls from annoyed coworkers as genuine interest in its self-centered blathering.
You can tell it outright. You are a complete dick. No one cares that you made $185,000 last year, and no one cares that you ran a half marathon. It so thinks it's the king of the world.
The team noted that the irritating robot could be useful in medical fields as well. Already, Osimo has pestered scientists into sponsoring it to run a 5K in Cape Cod this summer, and to date, it's raised over $700 for leukemia research.
Alright, so every day I keep asking you guys to write me and let me know what you think about the show. Well, yesterday, after my segment on paranoia damaging the truth movement, I've been getting a lot of hate mail. Let me explain one point that may have gotten lost in what I said. I'm not trying to call anyone's beliefs crazy. I'm trying to make us smarter and more critical thinkers. On a side note, I think Alex Jones and InfoWars have done a lot of great, crucial work that has woken up a ton of people for years and years. However, there seems to be a movement of people who immediately seize on every single bad thing that happens, including hurricanes, mass murders, and assert that they're all being fixed by the government to fulfill an overarching agenda. And I mean immediately, like in the minutes following these disasters, before any of the facts are even laid out. Healthy skepticism and criticism about the government is absolutely imperative in this day and age. Government narratives are not to be trusted. But before you start making speculative claims, you need to be armed with facts. This is about questioning everything, including the claims of the alternative media.
I keep telling myself that it'll be fine. You can't make everybody happy all of the time. But I found myself in a place that I've never been, a place that I thought that I would never be. There's people looking back at me.
Those seeking truth about real, provable conspiracies are discredited when people jump on bandwagons that peddle alternative theories with little to no evidence to back them up. For example, the millions of people around the world who have questions about 9/11 and the victims' families that are pursuing a new investigation are now lumped in with the same movement that's claiming that every mass shooting is staged. We don't all want to be the boys who cried wolf here. We want to present hard-hitting questions backed by real evidence. That's the only way the alternative voice can maintain its credibility. And with that said, I wanted to address a few specific comments from YouTube's No Name, No Fame, who says at the end of the allegory of the cave piece that I did, he says, "Why was the JFK assassination mentioned at the end? Now she looks like one of those insane conspiracy theorists." I just can't win. So I'm labeled a conspiracy theorist because of my questions about the impossibility of the JFK assassination to have happened as the government claims it did. Yet when I don't jump on board about chemtrails or Sandy Hook being a black op, the movement turns against me. All I can do is say my truth as I see it.
I keep having this dream. I'm at a party. There's people throwing drinks and screaming, telling me that I don't belong. Lately life's been the same. I find this comfortable place with all my friends, and then my friends start telling me that I've always been wrong.
And I'm so tired of being wrong.
Moving on to Twitter, at MarkJC1 says, "I can't believe you're parroting anti-gun propaganda. I'm unfollowing you." Well, apparently there are a bunch of people under the impression that RT as a network is pushing an agenda of gun control. And I'll just say this, I'm pro-Second Amendment. In fact, I own a firearm. I just wish people would take every other amendment of the Bill of Rights as seriously as the Second. Also, I think it's kind of naive, maybe this is just me, to say that simply having guns is a realistic way to protect yourself against the most massive and oppressive military force in the world. In fact, I haven't said one thing that rails against or for guns on the show because I think it's worth talking about the underlying issues of violence in the wake of these mass shootings instead of peddling what the mainstream media is. Still on Twitter, at Graceful Biscuit says, "Keep moving closer to Fox News."
Maybe you can become their anchor. Hashtag say it isn't so.
Well, I had no idea that I was a neoconservative hate monger. If you think that I resemble anything that Fox offers, then I don't know if you've actually been watching the show, sir.
There was a time I could move, there was a time I could breathe. The crowded spaces filled with angry faces, it didn't once cross my mind. With paranoia in my heels, will you love me still? When we awaken, you'll find that the sanity is gone from my eyes.
YouTube, a comment from I Love a Keys Forever says, what I want Oliver Stone to answer is, how are we supposed to deal with terrorism and our enemies? All Oliver Stone does is complain about how rights are being taken away, but what answers does he have to deal with real problems such as terrorism, which is the primary reason why all these new laws exist in the first place? What this YouTuber doesn't realize is that there is no threat of terrorism to Americans. The government justifies taking away our freedoms to catch terrorists, but we're more likely to die of accidental suffocation in bed than we are of a terrorist attack in this country. So really, the true way to deal with stopping terrorism is to stop bombing countries. When people get bombed and their families get murdered for no reason, those people tend to become radicalized against their oppressors, i.e. the United States. And finally, from YouTube, Teal Aloy says, I think I'll try an experiment and make Breaking the Set my only source for news. Great idea, Teal. I hope the experiment is going well for you, and thanks so much for writing, watching, and for your thoughts. Yes, even the trolls.
I got secrets from you, you got secrets from me, because you're so worried about what I'm gonna think. Baby, I'm worried too. But if love is a game, girl, then you're gonna win. I'll spend the rest of my life bringing victory in. If you want me to.
To the growing backlash over the movie Zero Dark Thirty. The movie chronicles the hunt for Osama bin Laden. Three senators, including the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, are now putting pressure on the CIA to reveal just how much information it gave to filmmakers and whether or not the agency deliberately tried to mislead them into thinking torture led to the finding of Osama bin Laden. ABC's Martha Raddatz joins us now with the very latest on this story. Martha.
Good morning, Elizabeth. This morning, the CIA is looking at new investigations into information shared with the filmmakers. All of this may be good for box office sales, but right now, it has a few very powerful people on the Hill outraged.
The whole world's going to want in on this.
The makers of Zero Dark Thirty certainly want Oscar buzz, but now the powerful film is getting more unwanted attention from lawmakers.
Where was the last time you saw bin Laden?
The film suggests that so-called enhanced interrogation techniques on CIA detainees were successful in leading to bin Laden's hideout, which incensed some leaders on Capitol Hill. Senator John McCain told CNN the film's portrayal is misleading.
You believe when watching this movie that waterboarding and torture leads to information that leads then to the elimination of Osama bin Laden. That's not the case.
Before this latest controversy, I asked the film's director about the scenes depicting waterboarding.
What was important is to be accurate and to be authentic, and, you know, granted, you know, it's not an easy subject, but it's also pretty irrefutable that was part of this 10-year-long hunt.
Documents already released through Freedom of Information requests show cooperation with the filmmakers from the CIA and Pentagon. Now investigators are looking at records of those interactions to determine whether the filmmakers had any inappropriate access to sensitive information.
I never asked for classified material. To my knowledge, I never received any.
In a December statement to CIA personnel, acting director Michael Morrell called the film a dramatization, saying it creates the strong impression that the enhanced interrogation techniques were the key to finding bin Laden. That impression is false, although Morrell did say some information leading to the capture came from those interrogation techniques.
As for the filmmakers, they stress this is not a documentary.
Oh my God, seriously.
Seriously.
I say, oh my God, seriously.
Seriously.
Oh my God, seriously.
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 Sounds like.
It didn't take me very long to figure out that so much of what is going on, humans are not being told. We are not being told the real truth. And I'm going to, a couple of things in particular I want you to know and I want you to remember. Nothing in this world, nothing works the way you think it does. There's always more to the story. You hear about some marriage breaking up and the husband did this, the wife did that, and it's very obvious what happened. No, it's not obvious what happened. There's a lot more to the story you don't know. You don't know her background, her past. You don't know his past. You don't know what was going on in the family. You have no idea. So it's nothing is simple. This is why you have courts. So I found that nothing in this world operates the way you think it does. Banks do not loan money. Governments are not empowered to protect you. Police department is not there to serve you. Institutions of higher learning, colleges and educational institutes are not there to educate you. The entire superstructure of civilization in the Western world is a combination of brilliantly put together and planned, well-planned schemes to direct the minds of the people in such a way as to serve their masters. And I've known that for a long time. And one of the biggest tools in the hands of the masters who run this world is Hollywood. Hollywood is an incredible story. I've said this, and maybe many hearing me now have heard me say this, but I'll say it again, that the white man's establishment comes from Europe. And in northern, southern, well, all four, northeast, south, and western Europe, even at the time of the Roman Empire and before, that whole section of Europe that we call the center for the white man's presence on the earth was quite literally ruled over. Ancient Europe was ruled over by a priesthood called the Druids, and the Druids were they were the ministers, the priests, the judges, the lawyers. They were the religious leaders. So there was a priesthood that dominated Europe. It still does. Europe is still a Druidic country. And America is a Druidic country. Unless you understand the Druidic system, then you're never going to figure out what's going on in America and England. But one of the most important symbols in the Druid system was a magic wand, like Merlin the magician with the magic wand, and also the orchestra leaders and conductors always have a magic wand. And you had better play to the tune of the master. He directs you to play, and he directs you to stop with the magic wand. So you're dancing to his music, okay? Magic wands were always made out of the wood of a holly tree. It's made out of Hollywood. And Hollywood is a Druidic establishment. And the symbols, the words, the terms, the stories are designed. Think about it. Think about how Hollywood does what they do. I'm not saying they're evil. I'm just explaining how Hollywood works. You have, first of all, a story. So somebody has to write the story. All right? So now you've got a story. Now you have to give it to a screenwriter who's going to adapt that story, excuse me, adapt that story into a screenplay. Because you can't just tell the story. You have to design it to be a movie. Now, once you do that, then you're going to have the actors, very important actors, because you're going to need people to act the part. And so it doesn't mean that they actually have human feelings. No, no, they're being paid to act like they care, to act like they love someone, to, it's an act. And so you're paying actors to act out the part that the screenwriters have written, and you want to make sure the actors do it just right. So you have to have a director, and he's going to direct everything you say and do the way he wants it said. Then you have, of course, the producer, and he's also subjected to the executive producer who's producing the money. And so all of this is a whole system of putting together a system of a story that tells you a story. It causes you to think in terms of what you just saw, so that people go out from the movie and think in their minds, this is the way you normally would react to a situation, the way that the guy in the movie did. And so that's why today, in the Western civilization, especially in the West, our ability to work with each other and live together as humans is so screwed up. Because we've been watching so much television and so many movies, and so much silliness coming out of Hollywood, so much violence and sex and drugs and all the rest of it, that people have no idea in the world how to live anymore. They've lost their humanity.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Wondering why educators have tended to be so ineffective in achieving their goals. And then it did occur to me that doctors and lawyers are usually, let's say, more effective than educators in achieving their goals. And I began to wonder why. And it further occurred to me that it seems that one of the reasons is that both doctors and lawyers always emphasize the negative. Now, there we go on that one again. But I mean, doctors are not really concerned with health. Their business is sickness. And lawyers are not generally concerned with justice. They're concerned with injustice. Because doctors, just to stay with them for a moment, are concerned with sickness, and in fact their definition of health for the most part is the absence of sickness, they have a focus to their observations and to their therapies. And I wondered if this wouldn't be useful for educators. Educators are constantly trying to make kids smarter and more intelligent. And it occurred to me that this is almost impossible to do, because no one really knows what being smart means or what being intelligent means. I mean, there are so many varieties of smartnesses and intelligences. I wondered what would happen if the teachers took a page from the doctor's books and started to concentrate on stupidity. Now, once you think about it that way, Dick, what you realize is that stupidity is curable. I mean, and it's identifiable. Most people can recognize when someone is making a mistake, when an error has been made, or when someone is thinking badly. It's much more difficult to know if someone is speaking the truth or if they're speaking wisely. But if they're speaking badly, I don't mean in a grammatical sense, but I mean if their sentences are not being effective, are not producing what they want to produce, we can see that, and we can identify in many cases why this is so. So I titled that piece "The Educationist is Painkiller," because I thought, what would happen if teachers thought of themselves as people to whom others come to for a remedy, the way they come to a doctor, but the remedy that the teachers would offer is how not to be stupid.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Wait, ding ding ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.